number 6. And we're now official, so that's very good. Psalm number 106. Problem with the psalm is that the Lord is good, the psalmist says, but he says in verse 6, we have sinned with our fathers. And the theme that we were contemplating last week is that not all who start well end well. We mentioned the fact that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. That was a big issue for them. But the psalmist says they didn't really all do that as wisely as they should. And after that, they didn't follow the Lord as they should. And so my thoughts went and said, all right, Harold, what have you got to watch out for? Lest you get to the finish line, and instead of going out full sail, you stumble and crash. How sad. Not all who begin well and end well. And we know that's the case because that was the children of Israel. They all came through the Red Sea. They didn't all go through Jordan. And so we say, all right, Lord, we would like to stand rather than fall as we carry on. We considered, first of all, I think it's probably in verses 7 through 9, the theme of the Red Sea. And we mentioned last week that we probably all have a number of Red Sea experiences in our lives. And we say, Lord, I'm boxed in. I don't know where to go. We've got Pharaoh behind us. We got mountains on the right. We got mountains on the left. And we got an ocean in front of us. Just let me blow a little and everything will be fine. We get to the other side of the Red Sea and we say hallelujah. And we can't go into all the Red Sea experiences we have in our life, but a lot of us are smiling because the Lord has been so good to us. Well, they got to the other side, as you remember, and at verse 13, I think, says, they soon forgot his works. What a tragedy. Why would anybody forget? They lusted for meat. I think we probably suggested last week that they were keen to get different food. We want to get more food. I put down in my notes somewhere the fact that after a while, some people say, you know, the Christian life gets to be a little bit boring. Billy Graham said that I became a Christian, but I haven't been bored since. And I think he's got the right attitude, but not at all ended the Christian life. As did Billy Graham. And so they said, we want something different. Feed me now is the attitude. We were here this morning. We were feeding on the Lord. He said, come and die. And we said, hallelujah. That's what we're going to do. And when you feed on him, you never get satisfied. But you might end up saying, you know, somewhat similar to the meal we had last week. It was a good meal. Frankly, in our family, we always had a turkey for dinner at Christmas. And never once as a boy did I say, oh, Mom, can we have something different? I don't like turkey and all the dressings and all that. But I suppose there'd be some people who might do that. Don't get disappointed with the food that the Lord gives us. Then when you get down to, is it verse 16, they envied Moses and Aaron. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and Abiram. And we focus then on the fact that many people say, I want the glory. I want the position. I want the power. Why should he have it? And he gets it. And they become envious and jealous of one another. We don't deserve anything. Lord uses everything. Don't become envious of your brother or your sister. Say thank you. I don't know where it was in this particular series of items that we're covering. I don't know which one of them drew my attention to a simple theme. And it goes like this. When I look at life, I say to myself, the problem is not the Lord. The problem is Harold. The problem's not the Lord. They complained against Moses. It was not Moses' fault. They complained against Aaron. It wasn't Aaron's fault. Now, who was at fault? Well, they were. Okay. Don't blame the Lord. And don't blame the Lord's people. Just say, Lord, by the grace of God, I intend to follow you. Well, they envied Moses and Aaron, and how tragic. I think we considered last week the fact that they made a molten calf, and that is a theme picked up verse 19 and following. And we mentioned last week that it was a very peculiar thing that they would make a molten calf. And I think we suggested last week that when we wonder why they would ever turn from the Lord and worship a calf, and one of the suggestions was that maybe they did so because a calf can't talk. To follow God is marvelous. Unless you're doing something wrong. But if you're doing something wrong, God's likely to speak up and say, well, that's all good, but it's not all good. That was wrong. And a golden calf can't do that. The golden calf stays beautiful, smiling, whatever he does, in good, bad, or indifferent. And in particular, if you do something wrong, a calf is not going to rebuke you. Most thoughts are structured in such a way that they won't rebuke you when you do what's wrong. Some of them, like the evil one, would gang up on you if you did something right. Verse 24. And it says, yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. Where were they heading? They were heading to the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land that they'd heard about, where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the fathers and all lived. They'd heard wonderful things about that land, and they despised the pleasant land. I wonder what all is implied by that. There's a couple of words translated despised in the Authorized Version in the Old Testament. One is they ignored. They knew about the pleasant land. But you see, when it came time for decision making, they just didn't focus on that. They set the thought of the pleasant land aside. You going to heaven? Yeah, you say, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to heaven. If you haven't, you're not. But if you are going to heaven, you'd probably get excited, wouldn't you? Some of you have gone on a trip. And especially when you were younger, you got excited about going on the trip. And even when you're older, a lot of people get excited about going on a trip. We're going on a trip. We're going to heaven. Is that exciting? Yeah. Is it going to be exciting on the way? Well, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to the rapture. I don't know much about it, other than I'm going to be there, and you're going to be there, and we're all going to be there, and we're going to be singing praises to the Lord as we go up, and it's going to be a happy journey, but that's not the focus. Focus is when we get there. We're going to be with Jesus forever. What's it going to be like? I don't know. You don't know. Picture says it's going to be like streaks of gold and foundations of precious stone and rivers of pleasure. I don't know. You can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. I told you before that the Boy asked his father, what's he going to be like, Daddy? And Daddy said, well, you just think of whatever it is that you would really, really like, and just remember that it's going to be a whole lot better than that. We're going to heaven. They despised the pleasant land. Esau despised his birthright. He recognized that the birthright was important. It's just that he was hungry. And the pottage that was before him, was it stew? But he was hungry, and he wanted the stew, and he didn't say the birthright's not important. He just said, my tummy right now is more important. What's that lead to? That leads to crash. He despised his birthright. And your tummy is important. But there's more important things than your tummy. And where you're going to do this and what you're going to do when you get there and all those things of life, they're important. But there's that which is more important. And all manner of people have stumbled along the way. Because when it came to the issues of life, they didn't esteem the things of God to be most important. They despised the pleasant land. You're going to heaven? Okay. Don't stop along the way to pick up some seashells. The seashells are important. What do you do when you cross the Red Sea? Well, I suppose if you were a bit of a scientist, you'd look and you say, I've never seen anything like that. Imagine surveying the bottom of the ocean. Okay? And I suppose some people could have said, I'm just going to stay here at the bottom for a while. What happened to them? Well, they were either overtaken by Pharaoh's army or they were drowned in another part of the ocean, as was Pharaoh's army. Don't get sidetracked. Esteem the riches of Christ, greater value than the treasures of Egypt, said Moses at the age of 40. A decision. But he didn't disesteem it. He didn't despise it. He went on. Big problem for many. All right, that's not the end of the illustrations given. So the next illustration comes at... where are we here? Verse 28. They joined themselves unto Baal-peor, and they ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. The plague break in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, so the plague was stayed. That was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. We don't talk a lot about the terrible problem of Baal-peor. You can read about it in Numbers 25, I believe. We won't go into detail. The detail is rather gruesome. The children of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for a long time. And they came close to the land of Moab. And the ladies from Moab came out and tempting the children of Israel. They provided a big feast, and that's the kind of thing that you would expect that it could be a temptation, because we mentioned that earlier in verse 13, our fathers forgot, they lusted after me. They provided them a fabulous feast. Then they told them a little bit about their gods. And then they engaged in that terrible sin of sexual immorality. There's a package, isn't there? The world offers sin. I've mentioned to you many, many times, there used to be a haberdasher, we call him, in Vancouver, whose name was Murray Goldman. And Murray Goldman had a very famous line that you would remember if you were as old as me. And it goes like this: there's not a single suit for sale at Murray Goldman's. And what they meant simply was that if you go to Murray Goldman's for a suit, you'll get two suits for the price of one. So you go into the store, you can either buy one or two, the same price. So you may as well buy two. And therefore, his jingle was, there's not a single suit for sale at Murray Goldman's. Would you remember, the devil doesn't have a single sin for you? You take the package. And Eve said, it's only a fruit. The devil says, it's only a fruit. But Eve found she got a whole lot more than single fruit. And the girls were pretty girls. And the smiles were big. The parties were long. And the food was delicious. And it was a big change from then. And they fell one after another. One after another. Have you ever heard of anybody who fell because of the party? And the answer is yes, you have. And my father, in particular, used to say to me when I was going out the door, and he would say, Harold, remember who you are, and remember whom you serve. I think he probably knew that I was going to a party. He said, Harold, when you go to that party, you just remember who you are. You just remember who you're serving. I think there's two kinds of parties. You'll come up with another 55 others when you start thinking of it, but I'm going to tell you about two kinds of parties. One kind of party is the kind of party that young people like. It's exciting. And everything else, I don't know. And the devil knows how to throw an exciting party. I can't understand why people do some of the things they do. People get a car and they drive it at an incredible speed because it's exciting. And I was asleep one night and I heard crash bang. And I looked across the street and the tree was on fire. And the neighbor boy was just, he wanted to drive as fast as he could around the corner. All his friends were standing on the street, and it was the middle of the night, of course, and all the friends were standing on the street, and he said, I can go faster this time. And they missed the curb and hit the tree, and his car was completely smashed. And he was probably smashed as well. And you can still see the tree. Still there. What's so exciting about going so fast that you crash and almost kill yourself? Our parties often lead to things like that. It was a party. When you're younger, big temptation, the excitement. Some people say, I wouldn't want to become a Christian. It's boring. You can have excitement. All kinds of people are in hell today because they chose excitement. That's kind of party number one. Party number two is not the excitement kind of party. Party number two is the kind of excitement or kind of party that older people like me like. And I think I'll just call it the laziness party. You don't have to work. Come with me and we'll just do nothing for a while. Okay? Now, for you who are younger, that's not a big deal. But when you get to be older, that's got a lot of appeal. And frankly, people would be jolly happy to get on a boat and travel around the world and see waves here and waves there and waves here and waves there and waves here and waves there. And after a while, it's not terribly exciting, but the food is good. And I spoke to him, my friend. I would tell you who he is, but I won't tell you who he is. And Joe McHale was his name. And Joe McHale came to Vancouver on one occasion and went on a trip from Vancouver to Alaska with his family and his families. I guess I think his wife's family was with him, maybe his father, but father's family as well, and his own family as well. I don't know, several of them. I said, "How did you like the trip?" He said, "It was marvelous. I got lots of sleep." Okay. Now, the reason he said that is because he was a very hardworking medical doctor, and he wanted to nap, and he got lost to sleep. Now, as you get older, that becomes really, really exciting. Okay, and you can tell whether you're old or not by how exciting that gets. Feel pure. And thousands of them died in Belfour. And there was a prince of Reuben who took one of the princesses of Moab, took her into a tent. Phinehas went into the tent with a spear. He just plunged it through both of them. God said, "Thank you, Phinehas. You'll go down in history forever." God hates sin. Good men. Samson was wondering. Slay. Because of the sin of Belpure. I'll more on that tonight. When you get down to verse 32, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled with the heathen. Remember, there were. What's the problem? The problem is very simple. You're going to do the work of God, you're going to have to get up early in the morning and start fighting. And where it's wrong, you're going to have to stand up and say it's wrong. And they'll laugh at you, and they'll do all kinds of other things. And so many of them failed. Yes, and Kadesh Barnea, they all failed except Joseph, Caleb, and Joshua. And over and over and over again, they failed because they would not fight. "I'm not going to be there. If there's fighting going on, I'm not going to be there. Get in and stand up for Jesus and fight." That's the command. And they didn't. They wouldn't. Who's going to be fighting for the Lord? And the answer is, you and I've got to start fighting for the Lord. And we've got to stand. And, you know, if you don't stand fighting, then you'll fall standing there. The safest place in the battle of the Lord is in the thick of the battle. That's the safest place. If you're not in the thick of the battle, hang on. Ahab said, I probably used the illustration last week, I'm not sure. Ahab said, "Jehoshaphat, you put on the royal robes. Let the enemy think that you're the king. I'll just go incognito." What happens? Jehoshaphat cries out to the Lord, and he's saved. And Ahab gets hit by a stray arrow, and he dies. Where's the safest place in battle? In the thick of the battle. Marvelous. And the last one. I guess I can skip one. Verse 32, is it? Yes. They angered the Lord at the waters of strife, so that it went ill for Moses, with Moses for their sake. And they've been experiencing the blessing of God all those years, 40 years. They got water way back at the beginning of the 40 years. They had manna every day. They got to Kadesh again. When they were in Kadesh, the water appeared to dry up. We don't read of one person dying of thirst. We don't read of one single cow collapsing because there was no water. But they said, this is really bad. Would have been better if we'd been killed by the Lord earlier than to end up here today. What's going on with you people? How could it be that you could go live all the way through the plains of Egypt and see God fighting against your enemies? Go through the Red Sea and all those years of the provision of the Lord. And when you get thirsty, you say, would have been better if the Lord had killed us earlier. What? How do you get to that point? Well, you just don't learn the lessons on all the other points. And you wait until you get to that point. The tragedy of Samson. It's too late. Well, Psalm 106. Lessons for us to learn today so that we stand tall for God tomorrow. Lord, we just pray that you'll preserve us, Lord. We don't want to be one of the Easterruns. We don't want to be one of those on the prayer list of others. We say, Lord, would you please revive Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. Lord, we take these thoughts. It's true, Lord, that Chinese New Year wasn't that far off. Past and Canadian New Year wasn't that far past. We're into the new year now. Lord, we want to live the rest of this new year for you. We don't want to get sidetracked. We don't want to get wandering. We don't want the problems that they got into. Lord, would you keep us in your love and fear? And Lord, would you preserve us until the day of your appearing? And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.